And Jesus said, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are blessed today to hear this account of the miracle of the driving out of the demon of the daughter of the Syrophoenician woman, this one who comes pleading to Christ, who is a pagan. She's from outside the children of Israel, and she comes from the far north, north of Palestine, from the coastal areas. And she knows who Jesus is, so she helps us in the own approach that we have. We should know to whom we apply for help, and she calls out to him for help. And the disciples want to push her away because they don't want anything to do with somebody who's a pagan, and she's causing a ruckus, so they try and dismiss her. But Jesus allows her to keep approaching, and she cries out to him, calling him Son of David, and then when he says that he has only come to minister to the house of Israel, she comes even closer. Jesus, help me. Lord, help me. And he says, well, it's not me to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And this is hard for the modern ear because by implication, he's calling her a dog. But this was a common term applied to those who were outside the house of Israel. They had a very deep ethnic hatred for anybody that was outside their lineage, outside their ethnic group. And so this is a dismissal, one that perhaps the modern era would be, another person might read this today, and they wouldn't understand that calling somebody a dog would be an insult. If you think about how our culture treats dogs, right? There are some dog food brands that have put such pressure on the meat market that chains have had to degrade their meat for selling people because there just isn't the quality beef that is normally available. So anyway, our culture seems to prize dogs. But no, in this instance, it would have by implication put an aspersion upon her that she was not to come closer because it wouldn't be right to give the bread for the children, not to give that to dogs. But we see the woman's amazing humility. And in her dialogue with Christ, which the fathers of the church will say is something they both come into this dialogue, and that Jesus uses and draws out her excellent humility to be instruction for his own disciples. She enters into it, and with the genius of an improv artist, she says, "Yea, Lord, but even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." All she's there is to beg a crumb for her daughter. And the Lord Jesus sees great faith in this woman, even great faith that he hasn't seen in Israel, and says to her, woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. We see in this woman a patient, persistent intercessor who in humility prays for her daughter whom she loves, and her intercessory prayer is answered and her daughter is delivered. Perhaps in this Lenten time, we might even take pause and give God humble thanks for all those who have interceded for us, that we might come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and that our life might be blessed. There are people who have been on their knees with tears for you, praying that God would have mercy upon you and bless you. And let us give God thanks for all of our intercessors, those who have cared enough to mention our name to God, that our life might be a blessing. We see the Lord's deliverance ministry in this gospel lesson. He came to break the power of Satan, to destroy his kingdom and deliver us from bondage. We also see in the Lord's ministry a great outpouring of love, the love of God through Christ, bringing in and pointing to the fullness of the kingdom of heaven with healing mercies and blessings as well. So Jesus in his earthly ministry heals many people of many diseases. In fact, there is no one who comes to Christ with a physical infirmity who doesn't leave healed. He is the great physician who knows what to do in every circumstance with every malady. And he is even there to raise up those who are lame, those who are crippled, those who are broken in their skeletal frame. He's able to heal the blind. The blind man who's been blind from birth, he heals, is recorded in John's Gospel, and blind Bartimaeus just before the triumphal entry. He heals little things like Simon's mother of a fever. He heals the woman of an issue of blood. He heals the 10 lepers. Again, there's nobody that comes to Christ who walks away without being healed. And they're not referred to a specialist, and there's no course of treatment that may have side effects that are worse than the original symptoms. It's all a healing blessing that comes. And this serves a twofold purpose. One is that it confirms by miracle the Lord's teaching. So the one who is truth incarnate, his truth is confirmed by the miraculous deeds, the signs and the wonders that get people's attention and see that he has authority from on high, because who else can do these things except God be with him? And it also points to the very purpose for which Christ came, which was to deliver us from sin and the consequence of death. And so all these different indicators of human mortality, the disease, and the first signs of the person falling into the dust of death, these are reversed as the curse is being broken, the curse of mortality is being broken by Christ. And ultimately, it's to remind us that our true end is the resurrected life in heaven. So all of us are called to eternal life, that we indeed will pass through death, which is punishment for sin, but because its power has been broken, we will pass through death, which has in Christ become for us the gate of everlasting life. And our true end is a resurrected glory where we will have bodies that will never get sick or die. So whenever we hear the healing mercies of God in the scriptures, we are reminded of the conquest of Christ, his mighty victory, and our assured hope of the resurrected life in heaven. This Wednesday, when we have a Requiem Mass for Rich Coyle, we're going to remind ourselves of that very fact of the resurrection, commend him to God, and pray that he will enter into a place of refreshing and light and peace where he may await the day of the coming resurrection. Now, these miracles of healing are not just in Bible times, they're also in the times of the church. And you find throughout the life of the church, there are recorded miraculous healings that are being done in the name of Christ, because Christ is at work in the world healing people, even now in this in-between time where we wait for his second coming and for the glorious day of the resurrection. So in this life, we still appeal to God for healing grace and mercies. And we see that there is given to some in the church the charismatic gift of healing, where they have a gift from God, whether they be clergy or laity, they have a gift from God that when they pray for somebody, they get better. They have this gift. It's a charismatic gift that is well documented, and some have this gift that they can pray for others and they recover from their illness. We also have in the regular administration of grace in the life of the church, the sacrament of unction. The sacrament of unction is where a priest lays hands upon the person, that's the outward and visible sign, anoints them with oil that's specially blessed by the bishop, prays that God will give them healing, that he will strengthen them in their adversity, that he will deliver them from their distress, that they will come back to soundness of health. In my ministry, I've seen people recover very rapidly, in fact, instantaneously, from very serious illness. Hasn't happened that often in my ministry, but I've seen it probably 10 times that I could count. One very dramatic time was I received a call from people in California, a parish in a sister jurisdiction. They said, one of our priests just had a heart attack. He's in the ICU. Could you go and see him? I said, where is it? He's at the hospital in Cottonwood. It's an hour and a half away. Will you pray for him? I said, well, I'll go there. So I jumped in the car and drove up to Cottonwood, went through the ICU, and there he was all tubed up, and they were expecting him to die that day. So I gave him unction, prayed for healing mercies, and he recovered fully and lived another 15 years, full ministry and an active life. And it counted for him a blessing of recovery and God's grace and goodness and peace in his life that became for him a witness to others of God active in our lives and in the world. Other times I've participated in praying for people who are ill, administering unction, and it may be a long time before they come to wholeness. But our church has prayed for a man once who was sick with hepatitis, and he had liver failure. And you saw him come to church. He was yellow. He was on his way out in his mid-30s. He had a daughter. And we prayed for him. We kept him on the intercession list, prayed for him. Eventually, he was able to get a liver transplant. And Father Robling said, well, probably not long before that goes south, because hepatitis is in the body. It's going to infect that new liver. And it wasn't too long, maybe a couple of years, and then he went back into the loop of the treatments and so on, you know, doctoring. We kept the prayers going and applied the gift of unction. And then came really a miracle drug. I forget the name of it, but it's recently been combating hepatitis. He was given some of this in its early days, very expensive treatment, but he fully recovered, and now he's a picture of health and vitality. He came back to church, had relocated to a different city, but came back to church, and you wouldn't recognize him for how strong and vital he looked. So we're not just, you know, we pray for people with faith that they'll be healed. It doesn't necessarily make us faith healers, in other words, faith-only healers, like you might see in the Christian Science Church. We believe that there are medical arts and that a person should apply themselves to those who have arts in medical healing, know the body and treatments and can assist in the healing of the body. So we come alongside people and pray with them, but unction is part of that process, that they would come back into soundness of health. I think it's important that we recover the application of unction in our own walk, especially after COVID time. Now, COVID time over the last 2 years has presented us with times of, declarations by civil authority that we must isolate and be separated and is not allowed clergy into the hospital. And there are sometimes rules that are in place where only one person in the whole day can be in the hospital. So usually it's a person close who's advocating for the patient, and the clergy have been marginalized and not invited in. But I think it's very important that we remember that God does heal and strengthen through the gift of the sacrament of unction, and that we make application for that, and that we restore this, that we wake up again to it. I've had the sadness of hearing of people going into the hospital, in and out. I'm like the last to know. I would have liked to have been there in the beginning to give them unction. Maybe it would have saved them some trouble. And get the community of faith praying for them that they might come into fullness of health. You know, sometimes it may be a dramatic thing. They may have a dramatic recovery, maybe not, but you have God strengthening them no matter what through their time of adversity, and we go to God with our need. I did notice that when I was working with people over the phone, if they were in COVID time and I spoke to them while they were going through the COVID tunnel, one thing I did notice that was very manifest in their suffering and going through this ordeal is that those who, it was common for people to come to a point in their illness where they gave it over to God and gave it to him in surrender to allow him to bring them where he would. And that point of surrender, prayer, going to God in their illness and allowing him to do his work, that point of humility and that point of surrender became a turning point for them in their recovery. So I think that's important, because the sacrament of unction is that kind of surrender. It's where a person is coming to God, and through the ministry of the great high priest Jesus Christ, which makes every sacrament efficacious, that administered through the hands of the priest or bishop, there is the opportunity now to receive a healing blessing. And I'll have you turn to page 320 in the prayer book, which is a way of praying out what we see in Scripture. The prayer book is our faith. It shows the promulgation of our faith and practice. And we are a biblical church where we pray and apply the Bible. So the biblical precept or foundation for this sacrament is James chapter 5, verse 14, where James says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him or her, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. So this is the biblical foundation for the sacrament of unction. In our faith, we recognize seven sacraments where there is an outward and visible sign of the inward and the spiritual grace given. Here, the outward and visible sign, the laying on of hands, the anointing, and the inward and spiritual grace is the strengthening and restoration of the person. So notice on 320, unction of the sick, that means the anointing of the sick. When any sick person shall in humble faith desire the ministry of healing through anointing or laying on of hands, the minister may use such portion of the foregoing office as he shall think fit and the following. O blessed Redeemer, relieve, we beseech thee by thy indwelling power, the distress of this thy servant. Release him or her from sin. So part of unction is to be delivered from sin, to be forgiven of sins. And usually in the way that I apply the sacrament, we have a confession, absolution, then the anointing. Now, I'll pause here and mention that during Lent, during this penitential season, I am available for healing prayers and for the anointing of the sick. And just after the final, during the recessional hymn, you'll see me peel off and I'll go into the side chapel and wait. And if you would like healing blessings and to be anointed for a serious health issue, because the sacrament is for a serious illness or accident, injury, come and see me in the side chapel. I'll pray for you that God will heal you and anoint you with oil. And this is also a time, if you would like, because we heard the example of intercessory prayer today, if you would like to join me, I'm happy to pray with you for somebody that you're interceding for that needs healing blessings. So we'll make a little queue here after the service, and I'll pray these prayers in the side chapel. Then after, I'll go out to greet people as I'm used to doing. But this is, again, I guess a reintroduction of the healing ministry that's available in our church, and I would like you to benefit from it if need be. So there is the petition that God would deliver the person from sin and drive away all pain of soul and body. It sees the interconnectedness between soul and body, the intertwining of soul and body. Understand that when a person is sick in their soul, oftentimes that will manifest in their body. That being restored to soundness of health, he or she may offer thee praise and thanksgiving, who livest and reignest with the Father and the Holy Ghost, one God, world without end. Amen. So that's the first prayer, and then comes the anointing. So as the priest, I will say, I anoint thee with oil, and I take oil that's especially blessed by the bishop for this purpose, and I dip my thumb in the oil, and then it's not that much. I put my thumb in the oil, and then I make the sign of the cross on the person's forehead, and I lay my hands upon them, saying, that I anoint thee with oil in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, beseeching the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all thy pain and sickness of body being put to flight, the blessing of health may be restored unto thee. Amen. And this is a very simple prayer, and I encourage people to, again, come into a place of surrender where they can accept that healing grace. I remember reading in the systematic theologian Francis Hall saying that in his day, about 100 years ago, not many people were being healed by unction because they didn't believe it. They didn't have faith that it could bring a blessing. And liturgically and in the administration, I have found it helpful to do something I learned from Bishop Morrison, which is to slow it down. And after the anointing, when I lay hands on the person, I rest my hands there for a little moment, maybe a 1/1000, 2/1000, 3/1000, maybe four seconds, just so that they can rest in that peace and receive the healing blessing. And it is efficacious. So that's a very simple modality of how a person enters into and receives healing blessings in the regular administration of the blessings of the church. So again, I recommend it to you, not to wait until, not to wait until things are dire, but, at the very beginning, get God into the picture and in humility and with faith, asking for the healing blessing. And so may we all take advantage of the graces that God is pouring out to us through the saving ministry of Jesus Christ in this time of the redemption. And may we, with glad and grateful hearts, sing his praises. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.